All right. Well, good morning. How are we today? Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Are you excited today? Hallelujah. Do you got fire in your bones? Hallelujah. There is nothing like serving the Lord. There is nothing like being in the presence of God and knowing that He is alive. This is the season where we reflect on what Christ has done as we begin to go into this season of the celebration of our resurrection and all that God has done in the midst of humanity for us. Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's worth giving thanks to God for. There is no greater victory. How many people are afraid of dying? I can tell you that Jesus wasn't afraid. And because He conquered death, you and I, we have reason to celebrate. We have a reason to give thanks because we too are victorious. It's the breath of God. It's the Spirit of God that is within us. That goes back to Himself. Hallelujah. Oh, don't get me started. Oh man. Well, we are talking about don't look back, and we don't want to look back, do we? No, we don't. We want to keep looking forward because great things are ahead of us, and it's so exciting to be able to be in a place where God can do amazing things with our lives. And that is what God wants to do. And you and I are part of something huge. It's not just coming to church and singing songs and just, there's something behind our singing. There's something behind our raising of our hands, our giving thanks and our celebration. There's a reason for it. And it's because of what God has done for us. This is personal. This is personal. And when we each share the testimony of what God has done, oh my goodness, there is a huge celebration that erupts. Isn't that right? Because now it's like, who can out-cheer what God has done for them over anyone else, right? Who can out-shout the praises of God? I'm telling you, my God is great in my life, what the Lord has done for me. And someone over here says, no, He's great for me. And somebody over here says, no, He's great for me. And before you know it, it's all over, and everyone is going, great is the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that's the way it is. That is the way it is. And God is looking for opportunities to do great things in our lives. Oh, speaking of which, I almost forgot. Next Saturday is our cleanup day. It wasn't in the announcements, but next Saturday we're all coming together. We're going to go through the property. We're going to clean and get everything organized in time for Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. So if you're available, see Ken, and we're putting it together, and we need help because now we have to do everything ourselves. Hallelujah. Which means it'll be more cost effective. Hallelujah. So with that, we have been talking about how God in the beginning did everything, and all new beginnings begin with God. Because it is God who brings life. It is God who breathes into everything that is done, and it comes alive. Whatever you're doing, it ought to have life in it. You ought to have life in you. You ought to be sparked with the fire of the Spirit of God. There ought to be joy within you. You ought to have hope. You ought to have peace. You ought to have love and all these attributes that God is. They ought to be coming alive in your life. And each day, God gives us a brand new start. Isn't that awesome? Because yesterday, all right, yesterday was yesterday. But today, we want to learn from yesterday, and we want to make today better than yesterday. And if we can do that every day, we'll become better. And it's always better when you can just look forward and know that things are getting better. And so we are looking at the fact that God is building something. He is establishing himself in our lives. And I was thinking about bridges, and I was realizing that bridges are so important if you're trying to get over a whole bunch of stuff. Isn't that right? You know, what do you use bridges for? Why do we need bridges? Bridges go over water, right? When there's a big body of water, they build a bridge, you go over it. Yeah, you ever drive down the... Yeah, I know you have, right? And you have walking bridges, you know, they go over land, they go over houses. Their bridges go over other things, and it's all designed to get you somewhere more efficiently, right? And there are some roadways or bridges that you have to pay to go over, isn't that right? Right? Some aren't free. All right, maybe a lot of them aren't really free. You know, but the bigger they are, the more they cost, right, to go over them. And that's kind of the picture that I wanted to present here today to help us to see that God is building bridges in our lives. He is using the pillars that hold up the platform so that we can glorify God. And the view is always better the higher up you go. Isn't that right? Right? When you go up, the view is great. And when you're in a plane, you're able to see the perspective changes. Isn't that right? You all of a sudden, everything becomes real small, and you start realizing how big God is. Because if God is above all of creation, looking down, what kind of eyesight does God have that he can see all the way down? Right? When you're flying in a plane, everything looks like toys on the ground until they actually disappear. But God knows the number of hairs on our head. God is so involved in humanity and in our lives, we just don't realize it. He is literally holding things together. The Word of God says that not one jot or tittle, which is an exclamation mark or point in the Hebrew, that is used to express in language, God says if any one of those markings in his word were to fail, all of creation would cease to exist. That is amazing how powerful God is and how much he is involved. And pillars hold up the platform that the bridge is used or made of so that we can walk over it. What's holding this stage up? There are pillars underneath here that are holding them up and trusses that go along. And they're designed to hold up the walkway so you can move from one end to the other. And life is very similar to this. And what God does is he takes these pillars in our life, and the pillars are the moves of God. The pillars are the moves of God. You see, this building has steel trusses that come up, and they hold the beams that go across that carry the weight. And that's what the testimony of the Lord in your life is for. God wants to do things in your life so that you can have a platform to glorify God from, so that others can see high and lifted up the name of the Lord. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And so don't look back. Don't look back. Look ahead. Because God is building platforms in our lives so that we can have a bridge, to form a bridge so that you and I can be an example to the world of what God can do, what he will do, what he is doing. And there is life in that. There is life in that. And so, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we just ask, oh God, that you would magnify yourself in the midst of us, that you would glorify yourself, and that you would build us up, Lord. Lift us up where we belong so that we would be able to overcome the obstacles of life, the confusion of life, all of the chaos and all of the challenges and difficulties of life. God, raise us up and enable us to walk across the platform that you have given us with the testimony of the Lord on our lips and with the attributes of God in our hearts, that we would be able to be an example of what the kingdom of God can do when he impacts a person's life. Use us, O God, in all these things, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the word of God is so quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, the scripture says, and it is able to have an impact on our lives in such a way where we're changed, where we're transformed, and new life is breathed into us, and God is able to manifest himself in ways that we would not expect or that we would not even realize was possible. Did you ever think God could use you? Did you ever think? I mean, really, think about it. I never thought God could use me. In fact, I never even thought God anything, you know? Not really, other than, well, he's up there and, you know, well, God is God, but I have to do what I have to do to survive here. And then I learned that that's not true. God is not up there. God is down here. He's in the midst of his people. The word of God says that he inhabits the praises of his people. That means when you begin, praise comes from God through you. Hallelujah. You ever wondered, Christ is in you, the hope of glory? The Spirit of God is in you. God is in, he is the Spirit of God. There is nothing that exists that is outside of the Spirit of God. God is, and it's mind-blowing how it even works. I don't even try to figure it out. You'll get a headache. So just understand that God is in the midst of us. And as God is in the midst of us, when we begin to praise, the only reason you praise God is because you, within you, God stirs. There's a move of God. That's why some people raise their hands and some people shout. Some people, they jump and they shout and they can't keep still. Hallelujah. All right, I'm one of those people. I can't keep still. And they say, you're too old for that. I'm like, no, I'm not. I can't stop. Because God is alive and there is life in him. And we can have everlasting life. That's what the word says. You know, you try to say things that don't sound so religious or Christian. But there's no other way to say it. You just got to say what the word says. The word of God is alive. It is quick. It is powerful. And you and I have, there is a spirit that comes from God that stirs within us. It doesn't bind or oppress. It doesn't pull down, but it brings alive. That's what God does. In John 14:3, it says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be there also. And you know the way where I am going. You ever wonder about that last verse there, verse 4? Jesus says, you know the way where I am going. He's telling the disciples, and we all know Doubting Thomas, right, he's known as. And he asked the question, Lord, what are you talking about? We don't know where you're going. He's like, we don't understand all this. But Jesus says, yes, you do. He says then later, right, I am the way. I am the way. I am the truth. And he says, no one comes to the Father except by me. All right, I don't know what happened. I have no idea what that is. And so we are a part of something huge. God is doing great things in our lives. And when we understand that we are going somewhere, you are on a journey, you're on the road somewhere. God wants to raise you up so that life is happening with all of its confusion, with all of its stirrings, with all of its issues, all of its situations and circumstances. God says, I want to raise you above that. and I want to take you to another place. I am taking you somewhere. I am preparing a place for you. He says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You can't follow someone who's not going anywhere, even though people do it all the time. Follow somebody who is going somewhere, and that is Jesus. The Lord is taking us somewhere. And we see this example in the Word of God. We see it with the Israelites when they are moving through the wilderness, when they leave from Egypt, which is a type of the world, and they're on their way to where? The Promised Land. And you and I, we're on our way to the Promised Land. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Oh, that's a promise right there. And I can tell you that it's a land. It's an actual place. And Jesus is taking us somewhere. And so, let's take a look at exactly what happened in the wilderness experience that we can learn from.
I should choose my vices carefully. I know, Lord. How therefore shall I fall into thee? For the darkness that awaits within, it speaks my name in resounding crescendo, and I cannot unhear its bellow. For it is not I who desired Egypt, but it is Egypt who called unto me. And though my eyes have not yet seen, my heart knoweth therein light echoes across the floor where I am draped, webbed throughout the dark, as I wonder how did I even get here? This path to yesterday, how did I come to this place for which I am so welcomed? Oh light, envelop your child. Won't you gather the remnants of me from being ground? For I'm here grasping for your presence. Will you ever go out? Here I will wait for you, my King, a rescuer of souls. Won't you lord over the night? Won't you be my vice? Oh, heart, spilleth not thy blood, for thy father's is enough. Cloak me, my King. Shield me from my inmost parts that wage yesterday's wars. Seeketh not I to turn back to my old ways, though they demand it of me. Lo, I hear them calling even now. So be still, deceit. Grow no more within my very soul, for you are subject to the Maker. Neither will I move when you call. For I am released from the cage I once found myself in. Be silenced, O death. May you grow no more, for yesterday is gone, and tomorrow riseth from the ash. I have spent my days reduced to the dust from which I was spoken from. And it is here that I seeketh to return, that my king may form me. So yet shall I rejoice with my brokenness before my king, before you, my Lord. For here I am protected, raised from the ashes according to salvation. King of kings, O Ancient of Days, who is ever before me, be glorified in my death and in my life and in me.
Hallelujah. 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 Our past calls to us. The old life, it calls to us. The Egypt that we all come from, it calls to us. And there's this temptation, there's this desire to want to give in, and the world is pulling, and the world is calling, and the world wants us to come back to it. The world wants us to conform to it. But we must resist and stay faithful and true to the word of God. In Exodus 1:6, it tells us the story of how the Israelites moved throughout the wilderness. Joseph had died with all of his brothers and his father, and it goes on to tell us that the Israelites were fruitful and they increased greatly and they multiplied in the land of Egypt. So much so that they filled the land of Egypt. The land of Egypt was full. There were more Israelites than there were Egyptians. There were so many. They were prospering. God was blessing them. And that's what God does. When you have godly favor, he blesses you. He opens doors for you. He makes a way for you. He prospers you. Why? Because you are faithful to him. And the Israelites have been faithful because Joseph was faithful to God. He prospered him. He caused him to grow and to expand, and his lineage grew and expanded, and they prospered. And when you and I are faithful to God, he does the same thing. We have to learn how to be faithful to God, because if we don't, it's brutal. It's brutal because we don't belong to the world, and there's no going back. And so we have to stay faithful to God in order to experience the blessings of God, the manifestations of God. And God wants you to be raised up, to be lifted up. And that's why he does things in our lives. God will do things to prove himself in your life. He will do things to demonstrate that you're not alone, but that he is with you. He will send people to speak into your life, to help you, to assist you, all of a sudden he'll make provision, he'll open doors, and a way will be made, and you'll be able to move forward. God does not go backwards. God is a forward-moving God. And you and I have to keep looking forward. Verse 10 says, come, let us deal wisely with them, or else they will multiply, and in the event of war, they will also join themselves to our enemies. They will hate us and fight against us, and they'll depart from our land. This is really the world, or the Egyptians here. They're going, what if this happens, or what if that happens, and what if our enemies rise against us? And that's what the world is doing. The world always has these what-if scenarios. Do you ever know people who don't, well, what if this happens, or what if that happens? And it's always bad. Do you ever notice that? They never go, what if this works? And what if this turns out to be good? What if this goes, oh, no, that's not what they do. They go, oh, but oh, no. Oh, what if this is, oh, this could be terrible. Oh, if this goes wrong, what if somebody does this? What if somebody does that? And we'll say, what if God made it work out for your good and caused you to prosper as your soul prospers and enabled you to overcome every obstacle and every hindering thing? That would change the direction of your thinking, wouldn't it? Because you now have hope in you. You now have a testimony. You have something that is moving you in a different direction. And that's what the Spirit of God does. And so here the Egyptians are paranoid. They're paranoid. They're thinking, oh no, what if this goes on? And how many Christians live paranoid Christian lives? Because they're worried about what could go wrong or what might happen or what. But what if you started thinking that God was the God of all possible things? What if you started to realize that nothing was impossible with God and that all things, when you're called according to his purpose, when you're operating according to the principles of God, all things will work out for your good? Would there be anywhere you could go or anything you could not do that God would not be involved in? Oh, you and I have to change our carnal thinking because the world is paranoid. That's what is happening. He says in verse 11 that they appointed taskmasters over them to afflict them with hard labor. And they built for Pharaoh storage cities and Pithoms and Ramses. They literally built up the nation of Egypt, and they became slaves. They were enslaved because of the paranoia of the Egyptians. And you and I are seeing the same thing in our culture today. The world is paranoid about all of these things. I don't want to offend this person. I don't want to offend that person. Oh, well, you just let them have it. Oh, just do it. Oh, whatever you want to be called, whatever you think you are, meow. Doesn't matter if it makes any sense. But if you follow God, God will raise you up. And all that craziness that you see on the news and you hear about and everything that's going on, you'll be up there and you'll be going, what is going on down there? And God will, the platform will take you to a whole nother place. And that is what God is doing in our lives. And so the more that they were afflicted, the Israelites were afflicted, the more they multiplied and the more they spread out, the more they were blessed. Hallelujah. And that's what God will do. The more hardships and difficulties the devil will bring into your life, the enemy will bring into your life, the more you resist him, the more God will raise you up and the more God will prosper you. Don't give in. Don't allow the enemy to rob you of your identity, of who you are and what God is able to do in your life. It says the Egyptians compelled the sons of Israel to labor rigorously. That means that they gave them harsh and strict, demanding labor, work. They worked them to the bone. And that is what the devil wants for you. Satan wants to work you till you are totally burnt out and you can't do anything else. Oh, don't you want to come to the prayer meeting? Don't you want to come to Bible study? Oh, man, oh, those Egyptians worked me to rigorously. I don't think I can make it to church. I got to sleep in. But Monday morning, you're there at the crack of dawn for the Egyptians. Hallelujah, where they will work you rigorously again. And then you'll crawl back home. Oh, can you call in on the prayer line? I don't even think I can push the buttons. Oh, put it on speakerphone. I don't even think I can see where the speaker button is on my phone. I don't know. The Egyptians. They worked them rigorously, harshly. And that's when you have to learn how to cry out to God. because that's what they did. They didn't just do, I mean, it was 400 years, right? They were in Egypt 430 years, and 400 of those years, they were being worked rigorously. And you and I, oh, we know people, we just heard a testimony. I heard Bridget up here talking about the guy who's coming. He was in the police department. He's all these places, 30 years. You know, that was rigorously working. Rigorously. How many of us are on jobs where we're rigorously working? You can hardly even say that word. Say it 10 times real fast. So it says they made their lives bitter with hard labor and mortar and bricks and all kinds of labor in the field. All their labors, which they rigorously imposed on them. They forced them into this harsh place. And you and I, we're in tough working conditions as Christians. As we go out into the world, we might even enjoy what we do, but the atmosphere makes it rigorously difficult and challenging because of the people. And it's the people that need deliverance. They need healing. They need a testimony that will enable them to see the hand of God. And God will do it. All you have to do is stay faithful to God. Just walk with him. Remember what God has done. The Israelites, they forgot. They forgot what it was like after they got into the wilderness. Once they had their deliverance, right? They got there, and then all of a sudden, they were going, oh, we want to go back. We want to go back. And you want to go back to what? Rigorous working? Being beaten? Being enslaved? Being in... No, you don't want to go back to that. And a lot of times our view of our past life or the world is foggy. It's not accurate. Do you want to go back to your former sinful life? Your former life where you were separated from God, where you're operating in darkness and you are under the thumb of oppression and bondage where there was no liberty? No. So we have to remember accurately where we came from and what we were delivered from so that we're not glorying in the past. We don't want to glory in the past. We want to recognize that we were in sin and bondage. I don't even want to talk about that. There's no joy in that. There's no reason to even smile when you say that, right? Because it was such a evil place to be, to even exist. And that's why we look ahead. We say, this is what God is doing. This is where God is taking me, because God has raised you up and you're on this bridge and you're going through life on this bridge. And you can look down and see all the things there are to see, but you don't really want to. We're looking ahead. Have you ever been up high on a platform? Do you want to look down? No, you don't. No, the higher up you go, the more they strictly enforce the don't look down principle, right? And God is the same way. He's saying, don't look back. Don't look back. Don't look down. Look up. Look up and look ahead. And we have to learn how to look up and look ahead. And when you look up and look ahead, nothing is impossible. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. In fact, in Exodus 15:1, it says, Moses and the sons of Israel sang a song to the Lord, and they sang that he was highly exalted in the horse and its rider, and he hurled into the sea. What are they singing about? They're singing about how the Egyptians were chasing them across the Red Sea, and the ocean swallowed them up. It was the Red Sea swallowed. You know, they were petrified, right? When they got to the Red Sea, they were petrified. They were looking back. They were looking back. They were like, they're coming after us. Right? And they went across the Red Sea because God opened up a way that was impossible. How many times do you find yourself standing and you say, oh no, they're coming after me. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. You need a rod. You need a rod. You need a rod. You need to be able to go. Ugh. Make sure the rod doesn't have a mic on it. Right? And you need the sea to part so that you can run through. And when you get to the other side, you go, wow, that was close. All right, well, where are we now? What happened? No, you do what these guys did. They started singing a song. I saw the horses come in. Yeah, yeah. Oh, they were riding on those chariots. Man, they were fast. They were outrunning us, but we ran across the sea because God opened it up. Woo! We went on dry land, no sand on my feet. Hallelujah. Got to the other side, and they were still coming. Thought they were going to catch us, but just as they got to the other side, whoosh, the Lord drowned them in the sea. And look at us. Hallelujah. We're free. Hallelujah. And they started to sing, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will extol him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, they were singing. Hata, 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 hata. And they were rejoicing, they were excited because they saw God do something. And when you see God doing something in your life, you will sing a song about it. Hallelujah. God wants to do something in your life that will cause you to burst out in song. Hallelujah. You ought to come home from work going, oh, the Lord, da, 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 da. Oh, he dodged that traffic. That guy cut me off. Ooh, ooh. But he couldn't get me because the Lord was with me. I made it home safe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, they cursed me out on my job because I said something about Jesus. But hey, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Now the sick called me asking me for prayer. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Right? Man, you ought to come home singing. Come home giving God the glory. Why? Because you're seeing something. You're looking. You're expecting God to do things. Stop living a paranoid life. Oh, what's this going to, what does this mean? What is that going to, what are they going to say? Oh, what's going to happen? No, you just keep walking. You're up on the platform. God is raising you up. You say, man, I'm still on yesterday's high. Oh, yes. I remember how the Lord delivered me. I remember how the Lord made a way for me. I remember how God opened doors. And you just hold on to that. You just hold on to it. You can hold on to it for years if you have to. Tell your kids about it. Tell your friends about it. Give them something to sing about. Oh, yeah, I remember I was going through something just like you. And, oh, I wrote a song about it. You want to hear it? They may say no, but you sing it anyway. Hallelujah. And you give them all the information they need so that God can be glorified. God raises you up. He uses those testimonies, those stories, those workings as pillars to hold up your platform so that you can stay above the situations that are causing chaos and confusion and paranoia with others, and you're able to walk through. Demonstrate your gratitude. Demonstrate your gratitude. Show your gratitude. Show how much you appreciate what God has done. You're grateful. You're thankful. Right? We give thanks for our food, right? Isn't that what we do? At the why? Are you, you're grateful for the provision because you know that it came from God. And it doesn't matter how it got to your table. All you know is God made it happen. And so that's why we give thanks to God. And we're grateful. And so we motivate others who share in the experience the same as we do. When someone goes through something and people are only able to see the negative, we have to remind people, well, didn't God do this? Don't you remember how God did that? God changed things. He turned things around. Oh, what? Or maybe it hasn't happened yet. So what are you doing? You're looking ahead because you know that he will. It is going to change. It is going to be different. Why? Because God is gone before you. And God will change the situation. God will turn things around. It may not be the way you're expecting, but it will change. And God will cause it to be right, to be good. And you will be able to demonstrate your gratitude. Demonstrate what it is that is in your heart. Are you joyful? Are you happy? Has the Lord made you glad? Well, then sing a song about it. Hallelujah. Well, that's what we do, isn't it? That's why we have all these songs. We have all these songs so that you can go home and sing them songs. You sing them at home. You ought to come home singing, yes, the Lord lifted me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Right? Not just in the shower, everywhere. Driving in your car, Jesus is my Savior. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Yeah. Because the Lord is with you. He is with you. People say, what are you smiling about? Why are you so happy? What's going on? I'm like, huh, what? What you talking about? I was feeling pretty, that day. Man, oh, yeah, you got to smile. What's it? It's like, ah, you know, smile, irritate. I'm like, yeah, because you got a spirit. Hallelujah. It's only, sometimes you got to tell a devil. You say, yeah, it's a spirit you got. That's why. That's why you're not comfortable. You're feeling, ooh, because you got a spirit. And you don't like the presence of God. You and I, we bring the presence of God. God is with us as we go through the wilderness. When the Israelites were going through the wilderness, God was with them. He was building this bridge. He's built a bridge so that you and I can walk across the platform, so we can be elevated, so that we can have things lifted up. In fact, in Exodus 15:20, it says, Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dancing. What? Come on, somebody. What? Yeah. Woo. You know what I'm saying? All right, I'll undo that. We'll go back. All right, when I preach, I got to get rid of these obstacles. Normally, we have all this space. Yeah. Now. Hey! Now this is much better. Hallelujah. And so, God is building a platform so that you and I can go across it, so that we can have life. And the Word of God doesn't say just life. He says, what kind of life? Abundant life, everlasting life. It doesn't run out. It doesn't run dry. You ought to have joy in your life. Why? Because God is doing things. Can you see God doing something in your life? Is He doing something worth singing a song about? Isn't it worth? Man, you need to buy a tambourine. Keep it in your car. Take one to work with you. Yeah, take it to work. This way, when you see the devil working, you can say, okay, Lord, I need you to show up. And the Lord will show up. You can go, ah! All of a sudden, you don't even have to say nothing. You just go, hallelujah. Yes, because God is doing something. We have to be able to see it. We have to be able to recognize it. The Egyptians are drowning in the Red Sea, and you were just running, petrified for your life. And you got through to the other side, and God, you're like, wait, what? What? They're gone. Has that ever happened? You're in a situation, you're worried, you're concerned, and then all of a sudden, it's taken care of. Problem is solved. You're not even thinking about it. It's just done. And then sometime later, you go, wait a minute, whatever happened to? Yeah, how did you? You know, or somebody will come along and say, hey, whatever happened with that situation with that? And you got to pause and think for a minute. You're like, wait, what? What are you even talking about? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I do remember that. Yeah. Yeah, well, this happened and that happened and right? Has that ever happened to you? Right? God did something. But you didn't sing a song about it, so you forgot what God did. And sometimes we have to do something to keep that memory, so that we can keep walking forward. Because otherwise, when the next thing happens, we're going to complain. And we're going to find ourselves whining and complaining about things that we shouldn't whine and complain about. so these women, they were dancing and celebrating and blessing the name of the Lord with dancing. And it says, Miriam answered them and said, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and his rider he has hurled into the sea." God wants to hurl the riders and the horses in your life into the sea. And he will do it for you when you're faithful to God, when you're obedient to the Lord. God has built a bridge for us to be able to walk across the platform. God has built a bridge to walk across the platform. You and I, we have to walk across the platform. God's already building the bridge. He's already done something in your life for you to remember, to hold on to. Now walk. It's up to us to walk. Don't look back. Look forward. Look ahead and see what God is doing. And so in Exodus 16, things shift. Now, this is only days later. This isn't that, maybe a week or so later. It says, they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. And on the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt, the whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Oh my goodness. You ever seen this happen? Oh yeah. 1 minute, everything is going great. The next thing you know, grumbling and complaining. It only takes one thing for people to start grumbling and complaining. And here they were. They were singing, dancing with the tambourines. And by the end of the week, all of a sudden, we're hungry. Now they're hungry. And they're complaining. They're complaining about being hungry. And God says, stop focusing on food. We're fasting. He says, yes, we're fasting because I just drowned the Egyptian army for you. Now you're going to spend time fasting. We're going to say, thank you, Lord. And we're going to focus on prayer because there's some Amalekites coming. And so God says, I'm going to prepare you. And so I'm going to teach you something. And so the people, they're complaining. It says, the sons of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt when we sat by pots of meat, when we ate bread till we were full. For you have brought us out here to this wilderness to kill us, this whole assembly, with hunger. Oh my goodness gracious. If God was going to bring you out there to kill you, he would have just let the Egyptians just, they would have just ran you over. They could have just, you don't do everything that God did to get them where they are to say, I'm just going to let them starve now. No. Obviously, God has a plan. You would think, okay, Lord, what are we going to do now? And God will do something amazing. And of course, the kale and all these things came down. But all of a sudden, now the people are complaining and they want to go back to Egypt. And Egypt all of a sudden starts looking good because they're hungry. I mean, I can kind of understand that. I know what it's like to be a little hungry, right? Man, you're almost like, oh man, I'd do anything for a slice of pizza right now. Right? A lot of times we're willing to make compromises just because our flesh is craving something. It may be hunger. It might be something else. But we feel like we want something. And we're willing to compromise God for it. And God says, stay faithful, and I will prove myself. God wants to prove himself. God wants to show us that he is with us and that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Egypt has nothing to offer us. Don't look back. Look ahead.
Every time I hear that name, it brings nothing but wrath and anger coursing through my blood and my veins. Egypt. You know, I was there since I was a child. They used to tell stories of Joseph and how he had favor with the Pharaoh. And everything was great and wonderful. And they looked at our people in such a positive light. Oh, quickly how that came and went like day and night. Like a snake's bite takes some time to kick in, its venom impairing our daily life. We might just stumble and fall and lose it all in one action. Its name, it echoes. It reverberates across generations like a siren of solace, like a bell of belligerence. At the sound of our mistreatment, and our speaking out, they turned out to voice their silent ignorance, acknowledging, failing to acknowledge how wrongly they treated our people. It was evil. They whipped us, they beat us within inches of our lives. Not only us, but our children and our wives. They used the system to keep us in the grave. Get used to that long enough, becomes all you ever know, and you'll hear the elders and the people say it's all the same. Yet where life looked dim, Lord, you came to save us. You became our flotation device, keeping our heads above water, saying, keep still and wait for me to move, my sons and my daughters. You brought us Moses, and go the Israelites were let. Thought we'd be running through like a dog into the sunset, but it was all put to a halt. And I was confused. This lot, they complained and said they missed our oppressors, they missed our aggressors. Like a child grasping for straws. They created altars and idols, quickly forgot about you, God, who delivered us. They missed it. After all, it was in their blood. It was in their bones. They missed the oppression. They missed the comfort. They missed not having to rely on you. But God, I thank you. Through the wilderness, and through the dark, we only had you. Through our pain and through our suffering, we only had you. Through our failure and our weakness, and our walking in circles, circling what you have for us, still you came through. Yeah. Lord, I thank you.
Thank you.
And I will never go back there.
Jesus.
I always hated Egypt.
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Egypt has nothing to offer us. We're not going back. We're looking ahead. Don't do what the Israelites did. They had this pie in the sky remembrance of what it was like. We have to remember accurately what our former lives outside of Christ was really like. Remember what life without God is really like, what you were delivered from. Don't look back to glory in the past. Look ahead. Look ahead, because God is doing greater things. There is nothing that you need, nothing that you will experience that God is already God is not already preparing for. God knows what your future will be. He knows what your tomorrow will be. And we should be looking ahead. Remember what he's done for you. Remember your past. Remember how God has raised you up and he has enabled you to overcome. One day at a time, God will make a way. Egypt was calling them back. And the world is calling you and I back. I know we sing that song, I'm gonna take back what the devil stole from me. Well, the devil is saying, I'm gonna take back the people God stole from me and the things God stole from me. And you and I have to remember. We have to remember what God has done so we can keep moving forward. Keep looking ahead. Keep allowing God to bring us to where he is. He said, I prepare a place for you that where you may be, where I am, you may be also. We're going somewhere. We are on our way. God has prepared a promised land for us. There is a place of promise that has been prepared for us. Remember where you're going and who your enemy really is. Remember who your enemy really is. Even Jesus faced this in Luke 4. It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan after he was baptized and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. Even Jesus went into the wilderness. Jesus went through the wilderness. You and I, we're going through the wilderness. Life is like a type of the wilderness. Every day we're going through. There are Hittites and Jebusites and Girgashites and Amorites, and there are all types of ites and ibs and stuff out there. And every day there's new names that rise up that you and I have to navigate around and through. And God will see us through. God will make a way. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. That is the key. You and I, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. You need to pray every day, God, fill me with your Spirit today. God, fill me with the Holy Spirit today. Lord, fill me with your Spirit today. God, give me the power, the strength that I need to overcome every obstacle, every challenge. It says for 40 days, Jesus was being tempted by the devil. This is Jesus. The devil knew who Jesus was and he tempted him anyway. What do you think he's going to do to you? What do you think he's going to do to me? What do you think we're in for? If Satan is so bold that he would go after Jesus, you and I, we're guaranteed to be in that same battle. And probably a lot worse. And so you and I, we have to understand we're not alone. It's not unique. The situation that you're dealing with, the circumstances you find yourself in, it's not unique. There are many people, many of us, who have gone through similar things. If we're not going through it even right now, you just don't know about it. But if you can hold on to what God has done, listen to the testimonies of the people God has placed in your life. Look at what God has done for you in the past. Remember, the hand of the Lord is with you. He has not left you. He will not forsake you. Yes, we've made our mistakes. Yes, we've fallen short of the glory of God. But the Lord your God, omnipotent, still reigns in your life. You belong to him. You are his child. And he loves and cares for us. And he is wanting to guard us and guide us and protect us. He wants to keep us. He is not bringing you into the wilderness to choke you out with hunger. He's not trying to kill you. He's not trying to ruin you. He's not trying to punish you for all of your mistakes. Your mistakes bring their own forms of punishment. God is here to deliver us. He is delivering us from Egypt. He is giving us a new life, a new mindset. You can't think like an Egyptian when you're in the promised land because you're no longer under Egyptian rule, you're under divine rule. And when you're under divine rule, you follow the plan of God and then you reap the benefits and the blessings of God. And that is the way the world works. It says that Jesus, after fasting 40 days, he ate nothing. And it says, then he became hungry. It wasn't until Jesus was hungry that the devil showed up. All of a sudden, the devil shows up. He says, if you're the son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And what does Jesus say? He says, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. And that's what Jesus did. He remembered the word of God. He is the word of God, right? He is the word made flesh. You and I have to abide in the word. Saturate yourself in the word of God so that your thinking can be transformed from Egyptian to promised land, to the kingdom of God. You can either think and operate like an Egyptian and go through the wilderness with the same mentality as an Amalekite or Amorite or a Jebusite or some other person, whoever it is that's in your life, on your job, or wherever it is that you interact with people. But know that God has his own way. And when you do things God's way, you get God's results. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember the word of God. Verse 13 says, when the devil had finished every temptation. You see, now you can understand why you're going to keep going through things. Because the devil's not finished yet. But he will be finished. He is just waiting to see if you know the word of God enough to resist him. And so he just keeps coming from different angles. With Jesus, he tried from this angle. Then he tried from another angle. Then he came from, and he tried all these different ways of temptations. But sooner or later, he tried everything and failed. And you and I, we have to make sure that we hold on to the word of God like Jesus. And we have to hold on and know that God's word is true. Because Satan, he will leave you for an opportune time. And it says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through all the surrounding district. This is so awesome because it says Jesus went into the wilderness, right? In the power of the Spirit. And how did he come out? That's exactly right. When the devil shows up against you, make sure you're in the Spirit. And you stay in the Spirit so that you can come through and come out on the other side in the same Spirit. Oh, it's like traveling through space and all of a sudden you're being attacked by the Borg. You put your shields up and you go through the battle. You can't beat them. You just got to outrun them. And you just got to navigate through and you get through to the other side. And God will make a way in your life. And when the devil comes after you, you keep your shields up. You keep your guards up. You enable the Spirit of God to sustain you and keep you in the power of the Spirit of the Lord. And God will make a way. He will open doors that no man can shut. He will enable you to overcome every obstacle, every hindering spirit. And you will come out even better than you went in. Because you went in the power of the Spirit of God. In the power of God, under the anointing of God. And God will show you that he is lifting you up. And you'll be able to sing a song about it. I remember how the Lord delivered me. I remember how the Lord made a way for me. So don't let your heart be troubled, saints of God. Believe in God. Jesus said, believe also in me. Do you believe today? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in God? Is your faith and your trust in him? Don't allow your heart to be troubled. Satan wants to rob you of your love, your joy, your peace, your patience, your kindness, your gentleness. And he wants to take you into the mentality of the Egyptian. But God says, don't let it happen. Resist the devil. He will fight for you because we are going somewhere. God is giving you a testimony. He is giving you a story so that you can be lifted up on the platform of life, so that you can overcome every obstacle, so that you can make it to the place that he has prepared for us. He has prepared a place. And where he is, that's where we're going. We are going somewhere. We're not stagnant. We're not standing still. We are experiencing God day by day. We can trust him because he is faithful. He said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Do you know the way, saints of God? Oh, we know the way. Oh, hallelujah. We know the way. So let God build that bridge in your life. Let him raise you up so that you can overcome. Maybe you can walk the walkway bridge in Poughkeepsie over the Hudson River. Let it be a reminder to you of what God is able to do. No matter what the obstacles are, let God build a bridge in your life. Just keep walking. Just keep moving forward. Don't look back. Don't allow the spirit of darkness and the works of the enemy and the confusion and the chaos of everyday life be a hindrance to you. Be lifted up. be lifted up in the mighty name of Jesus, and allow the glory of God to show you your future, that it is great, it is bright, it is beautiful, and the hand of the Lord is coming, and God will make a way even when it seems impossible, because even though Egypt is calling, you are able to keep going forward. Don't look back. Use the platform of God as he builds a bridge to the future that awaits us all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on. Oh, praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. Oh, yeah. Come on. Sing, sing, sing. If they music in the heavens, we will sing, sing, sing. Oh, we're grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. What's not to love about you? Heaven and earth adore you. Kingdoms bow down. Son of God, you are the one. You are the one. We're living for. Sing, sing, sing. And make music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. So grateful that you hear us when we shout in your
of the heavens and the earth. Isn't that what the word of God says? Oh, saints of God, you have reason to rejoice. The Lord will make a way. He's opening doors. He is a God of deliverance. He will set the captives free. Are you in bondage? Are you in oppression? God says, use the tools that I have given you. Sing a song about it. Let the worship and the praises of God come from within you. And when you learn how to praise God, I tell you, the spirit of darkness, the spirit of oppression, the spirit of bondage, the heaviness, it will flee from you. Satan will let you go. He will leave you alone, and you will be able to fly in the name of Jesus. You will be able to move in the power of the Spirit of God. God will make a way, and he will cause all things
to work together for your good, because he's building a bridge, because you are operating according to his purposes in the mighty name of Jesus that is able to set the captives free. And I tell you, you will never be the same again. No going back. Trust in the Lord today. Let him use that testimony of yours to raise you up so that other people can see the hand of God in your life and desire the Lord God so that they too might be free. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your word today. And we ask, oh God, that as we go out of these doors, we go out in the power of the Spirit of God and in the fullness of your glory. And that you, oh Lord, would go before us, and that you would bring down every hindrance, every obstacle, every work of the enemy, and enable us to operate in the fullness of the Spirit of God to accomplish the will of God as we operate on the platform of God to end up in the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and we give you thanks, oh Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.